Karen Bell is still in the monitoring questions, not here tonight, and was remaining very unclear. Did they know of any other announcements such as that? That's a little different first. If you turn to page 463. 463, hold your hand there, and also flip over to your head, 425. We're seeing 463 first, hold your eyes and change your hand. And then we'll go right into your sunshine and control. So when you hold your eyes and change your hand, then you can have sunshine and control. They fit together at the same pitch. Make a slight pause, and I'll change the pitch here with the pitch of the call. Putting it together.
Time is filled with swift transition. Onward, look and stare. Fill your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand. Your
if you would bow with me. Our dear, amazing, wonderful Heavenly Father, how great you are and how good you are that we can come before you as your children, as your sons and daughters and your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the relationship that we have with you, for the sacrifice that was made to make it possible for this relationship, for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you so much for all that you and your Son Jesus have done for us. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us this evening, that we might come together and to join in with our hearts and minds, looking towards your word this evening in our Bible study and for this period of worship. Lord, we thank you for how you provided getting us here and the safety that you give us and the all the blessings that we can enjoy to come to meet in comfort without fear of persecution. Lord, we pray for those unable to be with us. We pray for Sister Sharon Gott and the difficulties she's had with her car wreck. We ask that you be with her and help her to heal. We thank you very much for it not being as bad as could be and for looking over her. And Lord, we ask that you continue to be with her. Lord, we pray for those others who might not join us, whether be for various reasons. We ask that you be with them and to allow them to join us again and join us more regularly as we can encourage and learn from one another in your instruction. Lord, we pray for Brother Randy at this time for the message that he brings. We ask that you be with him to present it in a truthful manner and in line with your will, and that we might all learn and grow together with one another. Lord, we offer this prayer through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry to disappoint. I am not Randy. So if you're looking for him to bring the invitation, he did it last week for me. So start off this evening. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, beginning in verse 34. This is after the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They're at Mount Sinai, and they have finished building the tabernacle. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the houses, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Here I want to take notice of what happened as when they got the tabernacle built, and after Moses has finished all the work, as it said in verse 33, that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, filled that place of worship. It was, and no one was able to enter in, not even Moses was able to enter into the tabernacle of meeting. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 7. I'm sorry, I think I've got the wrong verse written down here. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't even read my In verse 1, and when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter in the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And of course, this took place after Solomon had finished building the temple. The Lord didn't ask for this permanent structure, but it's one that David had in his heart to build, but was unable to build it. But Solomon was the one that wound up building this temple, this place for God's Spirit to be, for Him to fill. And lastly, let's turn over to Ezra. Randy just finished a series of lessons on this. But turn, if you would, to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra 6. And I think I'm going to have to invoke the same thing that Randy does whenever he hits some of these hard word names to pronounce. Then Tattenai, governor of the region beyond the river. Shethar Bazana and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had sent. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the Lord of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month, of Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated. They dedicated celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy, and they offered sacrifices at the dedication of the house of God: 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all of Israel, 12 male goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they assigned the priests to their divisions, and Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. So this is the second time the temple has been completed, but there's something different here. There's something different about this. We don't read where God's, where the glory of God entered into this temple. So what's different about this than the others? Well, this one was built after they had been taken out of the land, after they broke the covenant that they made with God, that He would take them out of the land if they didn't keep His commandments. And He allowed a small remnant to come back. Another stark difference between all these is, where's the Ark of the Covenant? The covenant that they made with God, the pretty much the symbol that really kind of shows their covenant with them, is no longer with them. It's been taken away. So let's think about this in terms for us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, if you would. Hebrews 8. I'm going to begin in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant, and he made the first obsolete. Now what is being obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Here the Hebrew writer talks about the first covenant, but he also brings to mind what Jeremiah said. And that's in Jeremiah 31, talking about after Judah is going to be taken away, that he's going to make a covenant with them that's not going to be like the covenant that he made with those that came out of the land of Israel. The land of Egypt that he brought by the hand. It's going to be different. It's going to be one that's going to be spiritual. It's going to be one that's built on the inside of them. So let's think about what we read in as Moses built the tabernacle and as Solomon built the temple. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. Beginning in verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. For I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So here Paul, as he's talking to the Corinthians, tells them that you're a temple. You're the temple of the living God. God is supposed to reside in us. But the remnant built another temple that God was supposed to reside in, but we don't see his glory coming back to it. Because God's not going to fill a space that he doesn't. God's not going to fill us. God does not dwell where he cannot fill. If our heart's full of other things and not made room for God and doesn't have room to be completely for God, then he's not going to fill our temple as he did in with the tabernacle, as he did with the first temple of Solomon. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 6. As Jesus is in the talking the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here, Jesus is telling the people, you have a choice to make, God or you, whatever you want. Whether it's, you know, greed, money, whatever, you have a choice to make. God's not going to dwell where he can't fill. If he cannot fill your heart, that's not where he's going to dwell. Turn, if you would, to Mark 7. Mark 7, beginning of verse 17. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods? And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So as Jesus is explaining the parable that he had just told this crowd, he's telling them evil starts from the inside. It doesn't come from outside in, it comes from inside out. So if we haven't... So if these things are within our hearts, where is there room for God? And that's what I want. That's the invitation I bring to you tonight. Is we look at this, these things that Jesus said. You know, the things that's in a man's heart. As Paul said, we need to purge these things out. because these things will not, God can't reside in something that has those things in it. So as we go through our days, we need to keep this in mind. As we talked about tonight with the tongue, it doesn't take much to light a fire. It takes one single match, as Smokey the Bear says. Only you can prevent a forest fire with just one match. You know, it doesn't take much, and the same goes with our heart. If we let just a little bit come in and start, it'll start to grow, be like, just like leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. It'll start to grow, and it'll push out your desire to serve God, to let God be in your heart and be in the temple that is within you. So tonight, as we close our service this evening, let us all think about, you know, what is residing in our heart. What are we setting our mind on? What are we setting our hearts on? Because where our heart is, that's where our mind's going to be as well. That's where we're going to be pushing towards. So now, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, there's no better time than now, because right now is the only time that we know that we have. We don't know if there's a tomorrow coming. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you haven't done those things, there's no better time than to do that than now. Or if you are a Christian, if you let these things creep into your heart and you let God's glory fade from it, even just a little bit, you know, we're here, Christians here, we're all here to help each other get to heaven, and we'll be more than happy to pray for you, to help you in any way. So if you're subject to the invitation this evening, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.
My Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way, and with His breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day, each step I take. I know
to the promised land. He said,
fill our hearts with so much that no room for Jesus in our hearts. We're going to begin to follow the prayer at this time. Right before that, I thought I was going to ask for the prayers of the congregation. I did get a report back on my headset. And it wasn't perfectly clean, but there's some kind of little stuff in there that says my prostate cancer might be moving into other areas, but it is so small it may not be that. Maybe it had that cold, maybe it go a little crazy. We don't know at this time, but I will be going into some further diagnostics later. So keep getting prayers.
I'm just saying that after the service, we'd like to meet with you in just a few minutes if you could come up front.
Okay, we need to come up front after service for a few moments, especially with the problem
that. Let us pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and understanding of how great you are. We thank you for the day that you've given to us, that we can come together and look into your word to apply those things that we find to our lives so we can have a better relationship with you. We thank you for the word that you've given to us and the promise that is in it and the hope that it gives us. We thank you for the world around us and that it shows your power of creation through it and all its complexities and design. And we thank you for the comfort to know that you are in control of all of it and that you love us. We ask that you help those who are dealing with any physical problems, whether it be ailments or other issues. We ask that you help them to heal. We ask that you help those who are not with us, whether it be for a spiritual issue that they are dealing with. And now we ask that you help them to overcome it and learn more about your word so they can join us again and receive the encouragement that we can give them. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout the world. And let your light shine throughout everywhere we go. We ask that you help us to keep prayer in our lives regularly so that we can bring our problems to you and take comfort in that you will take care of us. And we thank you for sending your son to die on that cross so that we can have all the comfort and the hope and the promise to be with you in the life after. In your son's name we pray. Amen.